It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Muntukura, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Greetings, my brother. How are you? I hope I found you well.
I'm well, greetings, our listeners.
I want to greet our listeners in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, our question is, has humanity outgrown faith-based institutions?
Okay. Thank you for that very important question that we are going to answer this afternoon. Today we have such a very important question to tackle. So before I handle it, let me start by unpacking or defining the importance or the key terms in this statement or in this question. The first important word there is humanity. Humanity, when we go to the book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. So we have no question whatsoever a human being is or humanity is. Human beings have been created by God's image, after God's image. So our first point of call there, we have defined humanity. Humanity, we talk of man, we talk of human beings from the creation. Okay. Then we have another term there, outgrown. When something is being outgrown, it means you are no longer depending on that thing or on that something. Okay? So that's outgrown there. Then we have a key word there, which is faith. Faith. I want to define faith in two ways. Number one, faith is a belief. This is basic. Faith is a belief, not what you say, not what you say, but what you do. So we need faith need to be lived out. Someone has to live the faith that he or she believes. Then we go to the Bible. In the Bible, we have a definition of faith that is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there the Bible defines faith as something that gives us hope. It is also putting faith as a belief, but the belief is, it has got hope in it. So there is faith for you. Then there is this word that is put for us there, institution. The word institution comes from the root word institute, which means an organization, basically government, a company, school, or a church. These are what we call institutions. Now, the question stands, has humanity outgrown faith-based institutions? Then my answer is no. Let me first look at the word institution is our last word there. When we get to the book of Genesis chapter 2, we see God putting up his first institution there, which is marriage. And God is the one who put in place marriage as an institution. And in every institution, there are ethical
Pastor. Forgive me, Pastor. You just said something that I'm not quite sure I understand. Help me understand it. You said God instituted marriage where?
Yes, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, when we read from verses 18, 19, we see God putting marriage in place there.
I'm going to read it to you, and then I want you to point out where God is instituting marriage. Verse 18 and 19 reads as follows.
Let me read. Verses 24, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. So here God is bringing together a man and a wife in an institution called marriage.
Where do you
so
get
this
that
is
from,
what
Pastor?
We call,
sorry, Pastor. Where do you get that from?
Like right now, I've just read for you in the book of Genesis, when we read in the Bible, when God created, after he created
sorry,
man.
Sorry, Pastor.
In his
My question is on you saying he's making marriage an institution. We see there, at the very least, God stating what is going to happen. But he doesn't. We don't mm-hmm. see anywhere there where God is instituting it, where God is making marriage an
right.
institution. Remember what your definition of
okay.
an institution is? That definition of an institution is dissimilar from what we're seeing in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
Okay, okay. Let me come with another angle so that I may exhaust your question there.
Okay.
First and foremost, I've defined institution from the root word, which is an institute. An institution is an organization, which is, I gave some examples of some institutions. I said government is an institution, a company is an institution, a school is an institution. So an institution has got some behaviors or some attributes.
From that definition, Pastor, marriage is not an institution.
Yes.
If we're to follow your definition, marriage is not an institution. It's not a government. It's not an organization. It is not. If we're to follow your definition, then Genesis
okay.
chapter 2:24 does not apply there.
All right. All right. Let me come to you this way, my brother. Let me come to you this way. Okay. Okay. Maybe let me allow me to finish what I'm saying. Then you deduce what I'm trying to put across. Okay, like I say, when we read our dictionary, it coins to us the way the institution there, and it is saying it's an organization or it's an entity that is made with some attributes where people or two people come together and agree on certain values or morals that constitutes their institution or their board or their...
Where do you get these definitions, Pastor?
Sorry?
Where do you get your definitions? Where do you source your definitions? Would you like to share your sources with us?
Okay, the source of the definition of institution.
Right.
If you can read through the book of Genesis chapter 2.
Yes,
we've read that,
Pastor. You don't find a definition there. I'm asking for your definition of the word institute. Where do you source your definition of the word institute? Would you like to share that with us?
Okay. First, I got this definition from the dictionary.
Which dictionary would that be?
Then Oxford Dictionary.
Okay.
Yes, when you deduce the word, you pick the words that constitute the word institution, you come out with what I'm saying.
Are you defining institution or institute?
Institution comes from institute.
I agree. So what
That's
I'm trying to establish now is, are you defining the word institution or are you defining the word institute?
Institution.
Okay.
Institution.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So you're saying
okay.
From the Oxford Dictionary, it says an institution is what again? I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to walk with you as you're defining it for us.
All right. Let me try to get there so that I'll clearly read it for you.
I'm going
to
read from my side, Pastor.
Institution. Sorry?
I'm going to read it from my side. It says the first definition there is an important organization that has a particular purpose. For example, a university or a bank.
Mm-hmm.
That's one definition. The second definition, also from the Oxford English Learners Dictionary, says a hospital, a prison, or other building where people are made to stay and are cared for. That's the second definition. The third definition is that has a custom or a system that has existed for a long time among a particular group of people. The fourth definition is the act of starting or introducing something such as a system or a law. The fifth definition is a person who is well known because they have been in a particular place or job for a long time. Those are the five dictionary definitions I have here. Which one were you using,
Pastor? Okay, let's settle on the fourth definition that you've just read, Mark.
The fourth one.
Yes.
The act or starting of introducing something such as a system or a law.
Yes. Okay. Yes, please.
Okay. Go on.
So, if you read for yourself there, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24,
right,
you then see that's where God is putting in place an institution. And
right,
this institution, we are calling it marriage. Uh-huh. And this institution has got values and customs that the Lord is ascribing to it.
Okay. All right. Let's grant that. I want us now to fast forward to the person's question here. I hear your definition. Just help us now how you're going to apply that to our question for today. Has humanity outgrown faith-based institutions? Your answer?
My answer is no.
Okay. Would you like to expound?
Okay, let me support my answer.
Yes,
yes, I'll do that. For instance, I've given you an example of a marriage. For us to have a marriage, we go back to the source, who is God, and how he instituted marriage. The Bible says the marriage is in between a man and a wife. When they come together, then this is
forgive
marriage.
Me, Pastor. My worry is that we're going to run out of time and not having dealt with this question. I don't want us to digress to marriage. I would like us to respectfully stay with faith-based institutions.
Faith-based institution.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Like I've said, of course, I was going to give marriage as an example, but let me digress so that we catch up with our time beforehand. Now, let's come to faith-based institutions. Now, I'm saying no because for us to have any institution, organization, we must have values and morals. So, like you have given an example here that in Europe, people are leaving the faith. That this is the reason I have given the definition of faith in two phases. I've given the basic definition and the definition of the Bible. Now, when I come to the definition of the Bible now, this faith has got hope in it, and this faith has got love in it. What differentiates all the institutions or all the faith from true Christian-based faith is that when we come to the true faith that I'm talking about, the true faith has got hope in it. The true faith, which is Christianity, has got, this is the only faith we see God coming and becoming man, and he died for his people, and by so doing he showed his people love. So this is the only type of faith where we see the founder or the owner of the faith coming and becoming like one of his subjects, and he became man and he died for man, and he redeemed them from the curse of sin.
Sorry, Pastor. I'm not quite sure I'm following. Remember, we are not really trying to substantiate the value of faith-based institutions. We're trying to establish whether people see that value.
To a lesser extent, they don't see the value of they are blindly trying to not to see, but I want to substantiate that this faith still stands, even though people, they are ignoring this type of faith.
I totally agree with you, Pastor. I don't want you to waste your time here by talking about the faith. No one is ever challenging the value of the faith. And I totally agree with you. You're absolutely correct that the faith is just as valuable today as it was in yesteryear. But our question is whether people are seeing this value. When society was much younger, society used to see and recognize this value. According to the person asking this question, there's a possibility that as society has evolved and grown, they no longer see that value. The fact that they don't see it doesn't mean it's still not valuable. It's still what it is, but this person is suggesting there's a possibility that people don't see that value. And that's why we're asking you, is it possible as society has grown, they have grown not to see the value? Their growth has led them not to see the value of faith-based institutions.
Yes, there are some possibilities that the community is not seeing the value of faith-based institution, in the sense that you find out that people have digressed a lot from the values and norms of yesteryear. Like in the, we have seen the establishment of some other marriages which are not Bible-based. We have seen some people having some funny behaviors which are not even in the Bible.
Right.
So in that way, yes, people have digressed a lot from...
people have outgrown from faith-based institutions.
Sure. We see people having animal behaviors whereby you wonder, these people, who have bewitched them? What is happening with them?
Right.
So we have seen that in our societies, in our cultures, people have moved away and so dynamic to such an extent that it seems that there is no faith in people today because people have digressed.
Why? Why do you think that is, Pastor?
Yeah, it's because of the great controversy. I want to point out Revelation chapter.
The great controversy. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
I want to point out the text that is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. There was war in heaven, verses 7 up to verse 12. There was war, and the devil, his argument is he wants also to be worshipped. Yet God also wants to be worshipped. The devil is claiming worship. This is why he is influencing people to deny this old faith that we used to see. We used to see people who were we have morals, who were well behaved, but now we have digressed, and the people are becoming worse and worse by the end of the day.
Here's the last part of our question, Pastor, which I found rather curious, and I would have loved to interview the person asking this question, but they are not here, so we'll only surmise. This person says, the people have outgrown. When they use the word outgrown, it implies growth on their part. And growth implies they are better than they were before.
Okay.
So because they're thinking better, and better thinking results in walking away from faith-based institutions. I thought that was somewhat very interesting to put it that way. I mean, to say people no longer believe, that's another thing, which I'm okay with. But to suggest the lack of belief in faith-based institutions is because of growth. People are now grown. They are no longer childish. Implying that faith-based institutions are for people who are childish, infantile, pedestrian even. I thought that was rather curious. What's your take on this? Is that word they're outgrown correct? Is it because people are grown that's why they are no longer affiliating to faith-based institutions?
Yeah, I hear you there. Like I have put across as we were opening, when someone has outgrown something, he is no longer depending on it. So in no ways we can not depend with God, because God is the source of life. There is no life without Him. In fact, it is ignorance that is being perpetuated by people, but we cannot outgrow God.
But that's not the question there, Pastor. The person is not saying we've outgrown God. The person says outgrown faith-based institutions. Faith-based institutions are not God. God is not a faith-based institution, isn't it?
It is those faith-based institutions that have pointed us to God. So that means if we are rebelling or we are going away from those church-based institutions, then that means we are actually saying we no longer care about the founder or the one who instituted these things.
Surely that cannot possibly be true, Pastor. We have seen so many faith-based institutions being demonic, being satanic. Many faith-based institutions have gone so far that people decided to protest against them, to disassociate with them. There is no faith-based institution in the known world that has not been seen to have done something wrong one way or the other. If we were to talk about us, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we made the error of associating ourselves with the thought that we know when Jesus is coming. And yet the Bible clearly says we will never know, not even Jesus himself knows when Jesus will come again. Now, that's just one thing that has been cited against us, to think that we know things that we would never know. And this is an epidemic in our church, to think that we know things that we would never know. Since 1843, 1844, we've been suffering from that cancer of pretending to know what things that we don't know. And yet we are human. We're as fallible as we are. But then again, that's just one thing about us. There are many other churches that have been, or faith-based institutions that have pointed people away from the scriptures. So to say that faith-based institutions always point people to God is not true. We have seen the Sanhedrin itself claiming to be pointing people to God, and yet Jesus was railing and protesting against the Sanhedrin. So from time and time immemorial, since Bible times in the New Testament, we've seen faith-based institutions purporting to be pointing people to Christ. But have they really? Can you really say that they have, in truth, been pointing people to Christ?
Okay. So very interesting. You have noted the issue of the Pharisees there. One of these days, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. He says, don't do what they do, but do what they say.
Right.
Meaning to say, the Pharisees were the institution that they were leading was good.
Oh.
But they themselves, they were not good. Okay. Are you following?
I'm shocked. It's my joy. I'm trying to pick my jaw off the ground, literally. You're saying the institution led by the Sanhedrin, which led to the crucifixion of Christ, and then the banishment of Christians. They sent Saul to go and kill all the Christians, and then they were dispersed all around. You're saying that institution was pointing to God?
Okay. Let me explain myself there.
Okay.
You know, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's saying, these Pharisees, they are sitting on the very seat of Moses. Meaning to say, the Pharisees knew the right law that could make someone right. But they chose not to follow that and digressed. And then they became a nuisance. But what the institution, the bigger institution, which is the church of their time, was teaching, the church was well in line, was in order, but they chose, because of some different reasons that we may not exhaust here, but they chose not to follow those. Then they became diabolic. And then they did all what you have mentioned to Jesus and to his disciples, because they chose not to take Jesus or to take God's word at face value.
So this institution that you're talking about, Pastor, is the very same institution that Jesus said they are a brood of vipers. They are like whitewashed tombs full of worms and dead men's bones, and yet outside they are painted white and beautiful. Those are the institutions you're saying are good. This is the institution that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. This is the very same institution that sought to trap Jesus by using Moses' laws. The very same institutions that decided he is not a Messiah and he is an imposter. He is pretending to be God. They disagreed with his interpretations of Scripture. You're saying that institution was a good institution? Am I understanding you well, Pastor?
All right. Yes, you are quite all right there. You have had me well there. I'm saying the laws and the values that constituted that institution were okay.
Okay.
But it's only that the personalities of the leaders who were leading the church by then, they wrongly interpreted the scriptures, as you have put it there. When Jesus was telling them the scriptures, they would arm twist the scriptures and choose to interpret the scriptures their only way. But I want to say, the institution that God had put in place so that it may point people to God was okay. It was without any blemish.
Okay.
And this is why the reason Jesus said, what they teach, you have to follow what they teach. And at one point he says, if your faith does not outgrow the faith of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of God.
Okay, so those are two different statements there, Pastor, but we don't really have time to address them. I would have loved to get into those. Here's my final question, if you can answer it in 1 minute, please, Pastor. After Jesus ascended and he left the apostles becoming apostles, and in Acts chapter 1 and 2, they gather in the upper room and they become apostles. They have the Holy Spirit, and they never are seen participating in the work of the synagogues. There is ever no record of them going back to the institutions. Quite frankly, from Peter going down up until Paul and all of the other apostles, they instituted home-based churches. They never went back to synagogues.
It's true. Okay, let me put it this way so that I may be short. Their institution was now condemned. And Jesus said,
which one? Which began, pastor? Which institution was condemned?
Okay, or let me say, there was a covenant that was made before Jesus was here on earth, and this covenant is the one these Pharisees were following. And this covenant pointed to Christ. When Christ came, they did not see Christ. Who was being talked in there, who has been pointed by the scriptures. They chose not to see him or to follow him. And then when Jesus died, then things shifted. That's why you see the disciples no longer following after these Pharisees and
their institutions.
Yes.
So they outgrew that institution, correct?
No, there was a you make me laugh. Okay. They did not outgrow. In fact, the institution outgrew itself.
Is it?
By not adhering to God's word.
Okay. All right.
And then the disciples, they chose to move on.
Okay. All right, Pastor. Yeah. My time is up. Thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further.
Same to you. I enjoyed the conversation.
Same
and
here,
the questions.
Same here, Pastor.
Sure. See you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.